Have you or someone you know ever been known by two different names? Maybe it was a nickname. Why was that? Stick around. In just a moment, we're going to take a look at the biblical character Dorcas that we see in the book of Acts chapter 9. Hey folks, welcome back. Thank you for joining us for our Wednesday evening Bible study. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts chapter 9. We're going to start reading here in just a moment at verse 36. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 36. A moment ago, I asked you if you or somebody that you knew had ever gone by two names. Sometimes it's a nickname. Sometimes it's two names. Somebody at times will call you by your whole name. Why was that? You know, sometimes it was for identification. But often, particularly if you had a nickname, it was because there was some meaning attached to it. You know, you've probably said to somebody before, well, why do they call you? And then you mentioned what that was. And they'll tell you, well, that has, you know, terminology from back when I was a child or something. One of the things I remember so pointedly, and most of you, if you were part of our church family at Central Baptist Church, you remember Gigi. And often, you know, for the longest time, I thought that Gigi was like G-I-G-I, but it wasn't. One day I had the chance, was talking with Gigi, and she said, no, it is just G-G, the two letters. And I said, well, what's the origin of that? And she told me, she said, well, they started calling me Gigi, which was short for Grinning Granny. And she said when the first time she held her first grandchild, she couldn't stop grinning, so they called her Grinning Granny, and therefore that became Gigi, and that's what she was affectionately known throughout her life as well as here at the church. And most of the time, if you called her by her proper name of Marion Durr, people didn't know who you were talking about. But if you said Gigi, they knew exactly who you were talking about. But we want to take a look at Dorcas today, who also had two different names. Look with me, if you would, at Acts chapter 9. We're going to begin reading at verse 36. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 36. It says, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Verse 38, and since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Verse 41, then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, once again, we seek you and your word. We're thankful that, Father, you tell us that that where we seek you, we will find you. Today, Lord, I pray that you will help us in all that we do to pause, to magnify you, Lord, that amidst all of the push and shove that's going on in our lives and the so many things that could easily distract us. Father, help us to give attention to you and your word for these moments. Teach us, Lord, give us something that you want us each individually to know that will help us as we follow you. Lord, we pray as always, if there's one who doesn't know you, that today would truly be the day they would give their heart to you, that they would become a part of the family of God, and that they would strive to live in ways that are pleasing to you. So, Father, right now, we ask that you would just bless me as your messenger for these moments. Lord, may you be lifted up. Draw men unto you. For, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you see, from today's scripture, there was this wonderful disciple from Joppa who went by two names. She had an Aramaic name, which was Tabitha, and she also had a Greek name, which was Dorcas. You know, why do you think that she went by two different names? Now, a little while ago, I said that names specifically had different meanings. Today, they still do. Often, people will look and they'll look their name up to see what it means. But specifically, back in those days, there was a lot of credence that was given to a name. There was a lot of thought that went into the name as that name represented that particular person. Now, when we think about Tabitha or Dorcas, and we look at what the meaning of that is, the meaning of those two names from a different language essentially mean gazelle. Now, when you think about a gazelle, a lot of us wouldn't sit back and think, well, okay, well, what does that got to do with anything? Thinking that she was an animal? No. This was a very, very faithful lady named Dorcas or Tabitha, depending on which culture was addressing her. Her name essentially means gazelle or doe, like a doe deer. Now, what was the significance of that? Particularly in that day, as well as this day, there are many people who will sit back, and if you're like I am, you can sit there and watch the deer come in and graze. You'll see the doe with their fawn, and they'll be taking care of them. And essentially, the qualities that go towards a gazelle or a doe deer is that it's slender in feature, it's graceful as it moves, it's loving, it has bright eyes and very tender looks. So when somebody would refer to her as that, those are the things that would essentially come to mind. So that was actually a real compliment when you think about the definition of those particular names. So that was one of the reasons why, when we think about her name, it would be one of those situations that would remind you of just sitting there watching a deer come in with its fawn and casually grace and the beauty that's involved with it. Now, she was specifically known for something. Now, as we look at our passages, particularly there when we started off there in verse 36, it says that at Joppa. And just a little sidebar here, Joppa, if you will remember, Joppa was the place that Jonah was going to when he was supposed to have been heading to Nineveh. So that's where you have probably heard the word Joppa before. But at Joppa, it says in verse 36, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. And it says, this woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. This is what she was known for. When people thought about her and the character that she had, that was what came to their mind, that she was one of those who did many good works specifically for the widows, as we see a little bit later on in this particular passage. my question for you is, have you ever known somebody that was like Dorcas, somebody whose heart was just there, who was a servant, who just did things 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because it was their talent, it was their gift, it was a way that they could be used by the Lord in the life of somebody else. What a joy and what a privilege it is to have that opportunity to understand your God-given abilities and allow God to use you in somebody else's life. Now, just a little bit of fast forward. Some of the widow ladies at her death, were there. Those that she had ministered to, those that she had tended to, those that she had cared for. Now, when Dorcas died, we see that there was a couple of interesting things that took place. Let's go back to the scriptures, particularly verse 37. It says, but it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her and laid her in an upper room. Now, think about that for just a moment. They didn't follow, they were following some procedure, but they didn't go all the way to the situation of preparing her for a funeral. It says that what they did is it said they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. It wasn't that they were sitting there planning a funeral. At that particular point, they did what they felt was necessary, but yet they did not proceed with calling the undertaker or getting her prepared for a burial. Why was that? Now hold that thought for just a moment, because verse 38 says this. It says, since Lydda was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him imploring him not to delay in coming to them. In other words, they sent some messengers out and said, y'all go get Peter. Well, we know that he's in Lydda. It's not very far. Go get him. Bring him here to us. We need him immediately. Tell him, don't delay. We need you now. I know you're busy, but we need you to come on out here. Verse 39 says, then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. Now, the upper room is where they had taken Dorcas, where they had washed her, and where they had that laid her in that upper room. It says also in verse 39, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing their tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Now, I want you to get this picture in your mind. I want you to get the scene. We know that at this particular point, she had gotten sick. She had passed away. They had cleaned her. They had set her in that upper room. They sent for Peter. Peter gets there, and what does he find when he walks into that upper room? And it says specifically in that passage that there was a bunch of the widow ladies that were there who were sorrowful. It says in verse 39, and when they had come and brought him, being Peter, to the upper room, all the widows, underline that if you've got your Bible, all the widows stood by him weeping, showing their tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. So you can imagine this scene. Here are people who love and adore Dorcas. Here are people who feel a great sense of loss in her death. And not only that, they are pleading with Peter at that point. They are testifying to the things that they knew about Dorcas. In other words, I can just picture as they're sorrowful. And remember, these are widow ladies that essentially had nobody to take care of them. These were widow ladies who was a pointed focus of Dorcas' ministry. You know, apparently, a lot of biblical scholars believe that she was wealthy enough that she could go out, that she could buy cloth, she could exercise one of her talents and abilities of being able to make these garments for these widow ladies who didn't have anything. So you could imagine what it would be like if you were a widow lady and you were in need, and Dorcas shows up with a smile on her face and just the joy of the Lord and says, hey, I've got a little something for you. Just wanted to bring you a little gift. And here is a brand new garment that was made with love and care and concern that Dorcas presents to each of these widow ladies. And there were many of them, as we can see. It says all of them, meaning more than one, were there. They were sorrowful in her loss, and they were pointing out what a great testimony that she had to Peter. They were saying, you know, it's hard to believe that she's gone. She's one of those who did such a wonderful job at taking care of us, and we love her dearly, and her loss is going to leave a big void. And just picture and sitting there going, look, this outfit that I'm wearing today, Dorcas made specially for me with her own two hands and came by and presented it. So her life was about serving. Her life was about servant evangelism. Now, you know, I could preach, you know, a whole message on servant evangelism alone, because to me, I think that is one of the great opportunities that you and I have in our society today and in our world today. And when we think about servant evangelism, we think about Dorcas in this particular regard. I ask you this question today. What kind of things could each of us do today to practice servant evangelism? You know, there are times that you've seen it. You may have witnessed it before where I know that when I was a youth pastor, there were things that we would do that were along the line of servant evangelism. They were easy things to do. We would go places where on a hot summer day and we would just pass out water. There was no charge to it. The Lord was providing. Yeah, there were times that we went to different businesses and asked them, you know, is it all right if we helped you out by, you know, cleaning your restrooms? Doing the things that nobody else wanted to do. Taking talents and abilities that we have and exercising them for the Lord with no personal gain to ourselves, all for the joy of being able to simply exercise those gifts and abilities that God Almighty had given us. So again, I ask you, what kind of things could each of us do today to practice servant evangelism to become and have the reputation that Dorcas had with those that were around her. Now, you got to keep in mind, this was not something that she was doing so that she could just gain a reputation. The things she was doing because she got joy out of doing them. She got joy out of exercising those talents and abilities. She got joy in being the hands and the feet of our Lord to those who needed him the most at that particular time. In fact, it was almost like a niche, if you want to use that word. That was her niche. She ministered to the widows, and she had the talent and ability to be able to make clothing. She did that at her own expense. She didn't go say, well, I'll tell you what, if you bring me some cash, I'll make you a dress. No, she just went and did those things as the Lord was leading. Now, there was some specific things that Peter did when he came up to that room where Dorcas had been laid. He is being essentially bombarded by all these widow ladies who are testifying to the testimony of Dorcas, but they're also in great sorrow because of this void that's been left in their heart. Think about what it was that Peter said there, as he approached the situation. In verse 39, it says that there was where he went. He was hearing what the testimony was of the people, the widow ladies that were in that room with her. But then in verse 40, it says, but Peter put them all out. Now, there could be a lot to be said about that. Imagine, you're pouring your heart out to Peter. Peter says, okay, I need all of y'all to step out of the room. I need all of you to go. I believe with all my heart that Peter just needed that special time to be alone with the Lord. I believe that Peter had to call out to the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this situation? And folks, that is really good prayer for each and every one of us, because we don't always know how God wants a situation to turn out. It's going to turn out the way he wants it to, but often we're guilty of wanting God to do his will our way. We'll sit back and say, Lord, here's the way I want you to take care of this situation. And often that's not God's will. We have to be careful that we seek the Lord and that we're walking with him so closely that just like the Lord's Prayer tells us, when we pray, we need to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it's already planned out in heaven. So Lord, we want to hear from you and walk so closely with you that what we're asking for is exactly what you've already got planned. Well, at this particular situation, I don't believe that Peter actually knew how to ask, or he knew how to ask, but he didn't know what to do. So it says in verse 40 that Peter put all those widows out of that upper room. It says that he knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. I believe that Peter spent time. Now, obviously, we don't have a bunch of dots that say there's a pause. It doesn't say how long Peter spent in prayer before he did this. But I believe with all my heart that he was asking God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to go about ministering to the people that are here grieving? What do you want me to do about Dorcas or Tabitha, whichever name you refer to her by? Peter actually referred to her by Tabitha. I believe that in those moments, God gave Peter the word that he needed to be able to say, here's what I want you to do. I want you, through the power of God Almighty, to turn to her and tell her to arise. We also have to remember, too, that it wasn't the power of Peter that got Dorcas, Tabitha, to arise, but when he turned, he was a messenger of the Most High God, fulfilling the commands that he had established through prayer to be a the hands and the feet of the Most High God. And it says that in verse 40, he turned and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now, for a moment, I want you to insert yourself into the story. I want you to kind of be that fly on the wall, as it were. If you were watching this, and you saw what happened, and you saw what took place, how would you feel? What would that do for you? What would that do to you? Would that scare you? Would that be some proof positive of the power of God? You see, folks, too many people in our day and age want to see God do some sort of magic tricks. They want to see God resurrect the dead. They want to see God do something special. And I've actually had people who've said to me, well, I'll tell you what, if God would make that table rise, then I'll believe in him. Well, to do that, there's something that's missing, and that's the faith factor. The Word of God tells us that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Folks, God is not anybody's trick pony. He's not the genie in the magic lamp that we just go rub when we want a couple of two or three wishes. God has a plan, and God has a purpose. And he wants to use his people to bring those plans and purposes to fruition. Are we cooperating with him when it comes down to that? Peter, in this case, was exactly in God's will. He sought God first, which is a great, great testimony to each and every one of us, that before we do anything, we should seek God in prayer. We should ask him. Yeah, I don't think that Peter hit his knees and said, well, Lord, I want to reach over there and raise her, but I just want to check and see if it's all right with you. I believe Peter hit his knees and said, God, I have no idea what you want me to do, but I want to be your hands and your feet. Tell me, what do you want me to do? I believe that in those moments, Peter got the word of God, and it says that he turned and said, Tabitha, arise, out of verse 40, and she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. You know, part of the question is, if you were in Peter's shoes, would you be surprised? Would you be shocked? Would you be gasping in awe? What would your, how do you think your persona would be if you saw that? Here was a woman who was dead. She's been pronounced dead. She's been taken care of by those whom she had served. There's no doubt whatsoever that she truly was dead. And then Peter says, Tabitha, arise. And she opens her eyes. And then she sees Peter and she sets up. I would liken that to be being at somebody's funeral, and you know, you're there at the visitation and they're sitting in the casket, and you know, somebody looks over and tells them to arise, and all of a sudden their eyes pop open and they set up. I have a feeling that there would be one of those Mississippi squirrel revival moments going on if something like that took place. But verse 41 says this. It says that when that happened, Peter didn't get shocked. He didn't jump up. He didn't run out of the room. He was fully expecting God to do what God had told him to do, to fulfill what God's plan was in this situation. So when Peter saw her open her eyes, and when Peter saw her set up, what does he do? Verse 41 says this. It says, then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. So, I mean, get this picture. You know, she opens her eyes, sets up. Peter takes her by the hand, lifts her up. He goes over to the door and he says, hey, everybody, come here a minute. I got somebody I want you to see. And lo and behold, Dorcas, or Tabitha, steps from the room. Imagine the impact that that would have on those that were there mourning her death. Imagine the impact that that would have, not only for the sake of having her back, who is a minister and a witness to them, but for the sake of the Lord, because God wasn't done with her yet. Man, isn't that a great thought? There were so many people who needed her. Those widows needed her. As we know, in fact, the widows not being tended to is where we see that in Acts chapter 6 that the deacons were actually formed, because it says that a lot of the widows weren't getting the proper share of the food, and they didn't feel as if they were being taken care of. So essentially there were men, the deacons, that were appointed over that particular business. So we know that the reputation of the widows not being taken care of was prominent in that day. And yet that was Dorcas' ministry. That was what she did. That's what she majored on. And she lovingly ministered to these people in such a way that she made differences in their life. And she did it all in the name of the Lord. How precious is that? She didn't do it for herself. She did it because God had given her the ability, and she wanted to bring honor and glory to him. Why was it that she was resurrected from death in this particular point? Because God wasn't finished with her yet. Now, I've often said this. God doesn't do anything to, with, for, or you know, any of his servants unless it is designed to enhance the work of the Lord, unless it is designed to give God glory. This was a situation that gave God glory. Imagine how joyous those widows were. Imagine the fact that they had so much hope. You know, I like the fact that the hope that they had, that they didn't go ahead and begin to prepare her body for burial immediately upon her death. No, they said, we still have hope. We know Peter, one of the apostles, is just down the road. Go get him. Yeah, let's exercise all the options that we have before we throw in the towel, before we give up hope, before we bury her. Go get Peter. We need some advice. Listen, folks, they went to the one who could get in touch with the Lord, and you and I have that same privilege through Jesus Christ in being able to walk with him and talk with him. Let's not ever abuse that privilege. Realize this, that until God is finished with you, nothing's going to happen to you. I always jokingly say this, but what's said in jest is often in truth. I am invincible until God is finished with me. Now, when God is finished with me, he could call me home just like that, and the same holds forth for you or any of his other followers or any of the other people who are his children. But when God has a plan for you, and when you're about his purpose, there is nothing that is going to stop you from accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish until he is finished with you and until it is time to see him in his kingdom. As we read on, verse 42 says this. It says, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. The word spread quickly. You know, when those widow ladies saw her, their sorrow and their pain and their mourning turned into joyous shouts, and they began to let the word spread. The word had already spread that she was dead, and now all of a sudden it's like, no, you know, Peter has come, and in the name of the Lord, she is resurrected. She is alive. And you know how that is. The grapevine is long and distinguished. It says it became known throughout all Joppa. It went all over the city. And because of that, because of what the people had heard about, because of what was witnessed in that place that day, it says this. It says, and many believed on the Lord. Man, what a testimony that is. Remember what we said before? Everything that happens to us is for a reason, and that reason is going to be to further the kingdom of God, to see somebody come to know him. You know, here in just a few weeks, we're going to be talking about Paul and Silas. You know, I believe with all of my heart that Paul and Silas went through all that they went through. They were arrested, they were beaten, they were imprisoned, all because there was a Philippian jailer who was lost and needed Jesus and was prime and was ready to hear that gospel message. You know, the Lord knew he could use Paul and Silas to bring salvation unto that Philippian jailer. So folks, you know what? That doesn't mean that life's going to be easy. I am sure that Paul and Silas would have preferred to have taken a pass on the stripes that they were given by those that had arrested them and imprisoned them. You know, too many times we step back and we say, well, God, why me? Well, let me ask you this question. Why not you? Why not allow God to use you in the lives of other people? This particular situation with Dorcas, it says that when they saw what happened, they knew and understood the power of God. It says, and many believed on the Lord. Man, think about that. What does your witness, what does your testimony say about the power of God? I didn't say, what does it say about you? I said, what does it say about the power of God? You know, if we're doing things in our own heart, and if we're doing things because of our own power or for our own personal gain, that's not to push the kingdom forward. You know, we use this term in Southern Baptist life, and we do so around here. We call it kingdom purpose. We need to be about the kingdom. What are we doing to further the kingdom here on earth? You know, do our relationships reflect godly people on a mission for the kingdom? Do our church meetings represent our togetherness and our unity in Christ that the kingdom might be furthered? You know, what do those things say about the Lord? Not necessarily what do they say about you, what do they say about the Lord? Because if we exercise our talents and abilities and people adore us for that, then they will adore the Lord because we can point them to his direction, simply saying that the reason I am what I am and do what I do today is because of our Lord and Savior. And folks, what a great testimony that is. You know, that was a great result of Dorcas' resurrection on the people of Joppa. They saw God's power. They saw God's reality. They saw and believed that day. Many came to know him. Yeah, Dorcas' life was invaluable to God. Let me ask you this. In what ways are you challenged today to make your life more valuable to God as well as others? What are the things that he's given you? What are the talents and abilities that God has given you that you can use for his honor and glory to make a difference for the kingdom? That's what we need to do. Today, folks, what we need to do, not only today, but always, we need to pray for one another that God will show us how to make our lives more valuable to himself and to other people. You know, and when we find ourselves in that position, many people might have sat back and said, well, Dorcas was just a seamstress. She wasn't one of those who was out there preaching the gospel on the street corner. She wasn't getting arrested for the cause of Christ. No, but folks, let me tell you one thing. She was valuable to the kingdom because she took what God had given her and she used it in the lives of other people, not because of who she was, not because her abilities, but because of the abilities that God had bestowed upon her. And with all joy, she served the Lord through the talents and abilities that were given. Are we doing that today? Yeah. Would God view us as valuable to the kingdom? Would God view us as valuable to other people as we represent him, as we are his voice, as we are his hands, as we are his feet, as we are everything that the Lord wants us to be in representing Jesus to the people in our lives and our sphere of influence? We need to pray today that God's going to show us how to make our lives more valuable, not only to him, but also to others. Let me go ahead and give you our scripture readings for this week. This week, we're actually going to be looking in God's Word from Acts chapter 12 through Acts chapter 16. Those are your five verses for this week, Acts chapter 12 through Acts chapter 16. And next week, we're going to take a look at the salvation of the Philippian jailer. Remember I said just a moment ago, we kind of discussed him as we were talking about Dorcas, but we're going to look at the salvation of the Philippian jailer out of Acts chapter 16, verses 19 through 34. So as always, when you get to that particular passage in your reading, which should be on your fifth day, Acts 16, verses 19 through 34, spend a little extra time in meditation in that particular area, as that's where we'll be gathering around God's Word next Wednesday. Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for this opportunity to be representatives of you in this world in which we live. Father, we pray that you will truly help us to exercise what you've given us, that we might truly be invaluable to the kingdom of God, that we might be invaluable to those around us. But Lord, most of all, that we don't do it for pride's sake or for vanity's sake, but Lord, that we would do that for your sake, for the sake of salvation and for the sake of your children. Help us, Father, to truly be instruments in your hand. Give us a great week. Father, lead us to somebody in our sphere of influence that need to hear more about you, and give us the courage to be able to share with them all the wonderful things that you have said and done and all the things that we have heard in our lives. Lord, not because what we heard from somebody else, but because of what you have done for and through us. Give us that joy, Lord. Give us that opportunity to be about your business, which is kingdom business. As Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, God bless you. I hope you have a great, great week.